want you to bow your head, because without him, understanding would not be a truth that we could handle. Without him, we wouldn't be here. So, Father, we bow to you, and we ask that you would just release your grace to us, that we would hear what your Spirit is really speaking to us, what your perception of our future would be ingrained inside our hearts by your Holy Spirit, so that we will become what you've called us to be, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 3. And I want to remind you that the Holy Spirit He's interested in each and every one of us, and we're not all on the same corner. In other words, your understanding of what I'm about to speak and my own understanding may be in a different area, but the Holy Spirit is sovereign. Mm-hmm. He will give you what you need out of this, just like he will give me what I need out to give. But it's going to be different for different individuals, because he is working on each of us according to our willingness. So, you know, when we say, Lord, I don't understand something, I don't comprehend it this way, the biggest gift you can give to the Lord is, Holy Spirit, would you make it clear? Because there are times when the word will come out. Even last week, I noticed that there was a couple things that came out of my mouth, and I said, oh my God, Lord, even I don't comprehend it. So, I bow my knee to him, just like you. Chapter 3, verse 7. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace. I'm going to change a couple of words, but I want you to get the mystery of this. I became a servant of this good news by the gift of God's grace, given to me through the workings of his power, not my studying. Through the workings of his power, not by me beating myself up with legalism. You know, when you're in the Spirit, God can reveal things to you that you could never comprehend in the natural. Because you're accustomed from your upbringing to do the work. And he's asked us to enter his rest. And we usually wiggle when we sit. Okay? So again, it's the workings of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me. So your opinion of yourself is not that important. What is important is that his grace is being given to you. To preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of the anointing. I changed the word Christ to anointing. Because sometimes we say the word Christ and we get an impression that it's Jesus' last name. Or that he's the only one that's anointed. He was the first to be anointed. To that degree that he would carry the fullness of the Father and the Holy Ghost. But he's the first of many, what? Brethren. So you're in line to become like?
Jesus.
Yes. Again, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable riches of the anointing. And to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God. Hidden in God. Now, when he reveals himself to me and you, he reveals himself from inside of us. Sometimes we think he downloads something, but in reality, he's uploading. Because he's here.
Amen.
He's sitting on the throne of your heart, hoping that you'll pay attention. Now again, it was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now through the church, now who's the church?
We are.
See, sometimes we think the other guy is going to be the church. No, we are the church. Okay? So it's through the church, the manifold wisdom of God. I want you to see that. The manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms. So who are you teaching? Who are you impressing? Ephesians 6:12. Your battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers. Is that what it says? So those rulers have been ruling without any kind of irritation, any kind of infiltration, if you wish, for centuries. And they think that they're going to continue doing what they're doing, but God says, I'm about to deal with them through you. A little while ago, I taught you about Matthew 18 and 19. Whatever you bind on earth will be, I'm sorry, 18, 18. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. I also gave you a warning that you are not to enter the heavenly realms and try pulling down the strongholds because that's not your job. Amen? But you do have authority in this realm of the earth. Okay? On the vertical level, you are in authority. If somebody comes in a heavenly realm coming down to you and irritating you, you have a right to say, be gone in Jesus' name, be gone. You are actually showing them that you are the living church. Yet, we have been trained to be submissive and to be bowing to these authorities because we want to make peace at any cost. If you don't irritate the enemy, you'll be fine. Got news for you. He don't need to be irritated. He's already irritated because of your light. Okay? It's not you running after demons. It's demons trying to stay away from you because every time they get close, what happens? They're exposed. So the church is the active tool of God in the earth to pull down those dark forces that have been running and ruling in the earth. Now, you say, well, oh my God, it's no big deal. You told us last week that I didn't have to bind and loose. No, you don't. Unless the Lord tells you. I gave you a scripture that's basic. John chapter 5, verse 19 and 30. Jesus never did anything to please himself. If you're going to pull down darkness, John 5, verse 19 and 30. Both of those verses, if you read them in the Amplified, you'll literally just, oh my God, he doesn't want me to act on my own. That's right. He wants you to act in obedience to Papa. And when you do the obedience to Papa, you're going to get the same results that Jesus did. However, St. Paul here is trying to tell the church, you are going to be, what? Made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my suffering for you, which are your glory. You say, my suffering is for whose glory? For the church.
There are some that have been chosen to intercede for the body of Christ. And they're commissioned of God.
Not of me.
Commissioned of God to carry some others that are hurting. How many carry in your heart somebody that's hurting? How many on their way to church this morning literally had somebody in their mind that they were interceding for? Wave your hand if you saw that. Look around. Thank you. So you see, when the active church is operating in an anointing of what? Intercession. The gift of intercession was given to Paul. It's given to you. It's given to me. It's given to many. So that what? The transition will take place in their hearts as it did with you. How many of you didn't learn overnight? It took time. Thank you. So be patient with each other. 14. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power. He may strengthen me with power through his Spirit in my inner being. I want you to just kind of close your eyes for a moment and just repeat that part. Say, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen me with power through his Spirit in my inner being. Take another breath, way down deep. So that Christ may dwell in me. And in my heart through faith. And I pray that I am being rooted and established in love. Not in criticism. Not in fault finding. Not in power plays. Against myself. That I may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of the anointing that's resident in me. It's not outside there. It's inside of me. And it's radiating out. So don't get too close. Rulers of darkness, you're going to get zapped. Hallelujah. You're going to get zapped. I am full of light. I'm full of the fire of God. I can put a bug zapper to shame. Because the minute they get close to me, they feel the heat. They feel the light. And they scurry. Away. I am a threat to the kingdom. Of darkness. Because I belong to the kingdom of light. I'm a child of the light. And I radiate light. Whether it's night or day. I still radiate light. All I did was change a few words. Did. How many of you felt a stirring on the inside of your belly as you were releasing that prayer? Put your hand up again. Look around. See, it's always about, oh, let them pray for me because they're holy. We're full of holes. And they're full of holes. It's not them that can do for you. It's you that can do by the Holy Ghost an incredible work in the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be in where? Which earth? This earth. You know, when God gave me that lesson years and years ago, it was a brand new thing. I was so overwhelmed. I was driving, I almost went off the road. The Lord said, the first earth that's going to be affected by me is this earth. Not necessarily the natural earth, but the natural earth will come. And it will be transformed. Because God is on the job. He is using the church. And the church is about to awaken to the next level of its authority. You see, we're just beginning to walk in obedience. And some people say, oh, well, you know, we should be going to church to dance and hop and jump. That's wonderful entertainment. And there's nothing wrong with it. If you get to the next level. When we were first starting at 10 o'clock, we talked about people who come to inspect and look around. That's normal. Everybody starts there. But you don't have to remain there. You don't have to stay as a spectator. You can come to the place where you will come with an agenda to obey the Lord every step of the way. Will you be faithful in obedience? My prayer is that you will be. And when you carry out his commission, you'll see the difference. Verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you being enrooted and established in love, which is the first level, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Why does it surpass knowledge? Because it's going to surpass your brain. Your brain, by the way, is only used to a certain degree. Even the scientists have discovered that most of the brain is dormant. Anybody know why? No Holy Ghost. The lights went out back in Genesis. The lights went out. Well, because they chose another God. And this goes back to 1988. My first trip, and when I, to the West Coast, under the anointing of the Lord. I gotta make sure I put that in there, because I had been to the West Coast under Kim's anointing. You know, the anointing of the Lord is going to give you some impact. And I met a doctor there. And he had some photographs. And I still have some of them. And he had photographs of a spirit-filled body with the crown of the head removed. And he had made a diagram of what happens when a person who is filled with the Holy Ghost and prays in other tongues, what happens? At the very crown top of your head, you have a gland. Called the pineal gland. And those that are not spirit filled, it is just like maybe the size of a small walnut. And it's dormant. But when the Holy Ghost prays through that individual, if they're sustaining in that prayer and continue their walk with God and continue their obedience to the Holy Spirit, this entire gland starts growing out tentacles, somewhat like a legs.
Like a caterpillar?
No, because it's round. It's more like a similar to an octopus, correct. Roots on a tree, very much. And it grasps. It has little grasping capacities. Tentacles. And those tentacles, the more they pray, all those gray areas of the brain start changing colors. And they've proved it through autopsies. Say, I ain't got time to pray in tongues. Well, go ahead. Stay dumb. I'm being honest. Do you want to develop the dormant part of your brain? Stay out of it. Let your spirit do the praying. See, if you pray according to emotions, you're going to get caught up here. Mm-hmm. Come on, people. Yes. I'm not dead.
Amen.
Okay? I'm telling you something. Awaken to what I'm saying. If you want to mature in the Lord, you're going to have to use your spirit. All tongues are not for everybody. Well, fine. Don't give it away to anybody else. Keep it for yourself. Be selfish. But if they're interested, they're going to ask you, how did you change? If they've got the guts. If they have the guts. But when the light is so bright, they won't be able to deny it. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Because that light irritates people. It irritates people. Because they're filled with what?
Darkness.
Darkness. Thank you. You know, this is no lie. This is an absolute truth that happened to me quite a few years back. We were invited to a family member's gathering, big family gathering, okay? There was about 60 people there. And the guys were all downstairs in a family room area, and there was a bartender. Now, this is a normal family. Now, I'm not picking on them. So I happened to come in a little bit late because I had been to church. And when I walked in, I sat at the bar and asked for a glass of wine or whatever I was having. And the bartender says, gee, you look great today. And I said, I feel great today. Well, all these other guys were sitting down in that room. And it was about maybe one-third the size of this room. And they were all watching the ball game. And they were all excited, and they all had their drinks. So the bartender came over to stand next to me, and we began to talk about Jesus. And within 10 minutes, there wasn't one man left in the room, except me and the bartender. And we looked at each other and we said, where'd they all go? The TV's still going. Where'd they all go? They all disappeared. Yes, they ran to the shadows. And I confirmed it to the bartender. I said, watch what happens when we go upstairs to eat.
They ran back down.
Yes. That was part of it. That was part of it. But one of the relatives said, oh, well, we couldn't even watch the game. Jim came in. And he's gone to be with the Lord now. I pray he's having a good time and watching a different kind of ball game. What am I saying to you? Realize who you are in Christ. If you realize who you are in the anointing, you will irritate some darkness. And it's okay by me, and it has to be okay by God, because it was His plan. Amen? Gail, I have a sense you have something to say.
I've been asking the Lord, I said, you opened my mouth, but I really...
Why don't you at least...
I don't know where he would have me begin. I really don't. I guess the main place I would begin... I've only been walking for 3 weeks since I was 10. Slow at first, but at least now, thank God I'm walking. But I can honestly say that in the very beginning, pain was excruciating. All I did was scream and cry. I couldn't stop because the pain was so bad. My husband literally just about carried me to first 2 weeks of chiropractor. Then I switched to PT. That was God's plan. And he had to pick me up and carry me into the bathroom, pick me up off the toilet. I could not move. Thank you, Lord, that season has passed. But what I kept doing and what kept me going was I kept speaking scripture over myself. I never stopped the mouth moving. Spoke scripture constantly over myself, because I knew that eventually it's going to manifest. That's some point that scripture is just going to begin to work and begin to blossom. So certain scriptures, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and I knew a weapon had been formed. I spoke the healing of the Lord, healed by the blood of Jesus. Greater is he that is in me. Did I do this perfectly? Of course not. I was really, really, you know, in a tough spot. But I can honestly say, even that as I started to, the first two showers that I took were a disaster. I mean, I just screamed. But finally, the third shower, holding on to the soap dish, and we have a little shower off of our bedroom. And by this time, I'm able to get in there. And just holding on to that soap dish, speaking the word of God, while the pain is going up and down, and I'm just overruling it with the words. That's all I could do. So I just did that and just kept that going. Just throw yourself on the bed, dry yourself, speaking the word of God. So gradually, slowly, it's like a slow uphill climb. He has blessed me with an absolutely wonderful PT man who was given the job by the Lord. The Lord allowed me to learn. Full of compassion, just full of a wonderful pair of hands that knows exactly where to fit, even though it hurts a whole lot. And I'll tell him so. I said, that really hurts. But just knows exactly what to do and how to do it, filled with a compassionate heart, which is so visible with every person that I can see him touching. I guess the greatest form of encouragement I can give them is that anything that you're going through, like right now, hey, things there. It doesn't dissipate. It tries very hard to rear its ugly head. To keep those words of God speaking. Just as loud as you can at the time, in spite of what you're feeling and in spite of what you're experiencing, keep those words coming out of your mouth. There was an awful lot of, as Jim told me, I kept getting corrected, and I had a marvelous pastor who called me at certain intervals with a word I desperately needed to hear. And there was one that you made, and I said, I'm getting corrected, and you said, no. Well, you changed that word to revelation. And the minute he said that word, it just dissipated, because the correction was death and condemnation. But revelation was bringing life. And that was it. And one of the most powerful words that the Lord gave me was, the power of sin is broken when you refuse to receive condemnation. And I had to really chew on that. And I continued to chew on that. Because from day one, when I was very, very tiny, condemnation was dumped on my head in massive, massive doses. So it just hung in there. So I just kept that word going. So every time something would happen, from a person mainly from a person. Power of sin is broken because I refuse the condemnation. And needless to say, God would allow people that you would least expect to do that. Not in any deliberate manner, just in a manner that you don't like. Just the way it was go. Very early on in this whole difficulty, I had made a decision to trust God, and it took me maybe 10 days. I was studying the book of Ephesians when this hit me. I'd been about 10 days into the book of Ephesians in an in-depth study. And what hit me was, no, I am going to trust God's love for me. And that was a new place for me to be, not trust God. Trust his love. And that threw all of the shit that was taking place. I say that bluntly because that's what it was. For all of that, I was going to believe and trust God's love for me. And boy, did that hold me together. That just held me.
Yeah, what happened to you? I didn't know.
Sciatica. It was a badly inflamed sciatica. I asked my PT person, I said, does everybody take this long? And he said, no. I said, well, I just want you to know something. This is a test of my faith. So he says, oh, a Job test. I said, well, yeah, you got it about right. And so it's taking longer than other people that would have it, but it was badly inflamed. When I first started going to PT, I came in a wheelchair. Could not walk into the PT office. And then, as I say, 3 weeks ago I started walking, so I've only been walking for 3 weeks. But it's an amazing experience, learning more and more about who God really is. God really is, his ways, his purposes, why he allows such things to take place in the first place. Changing my heart radically. Changing my heart just very, very, very radically. Probably it's about this, a lot of things that happened in this society. I will tell you one extraordinary dream, though. I was still functioning in a vast amount of pain, so this must have been about the third week, maybe beginning of fourth week, they get jumbled together. And normally, when I would keep speaking those words, gradually the pain would start to dissipate. This one night, it would not dissipate. It just kept going. I would call my husband on my cell phone because he was down in the TV room. And he just laid next to me, fell asleep. But I finally said, Lord, I'm desperate. I don't know what else to say. There's no more words coming out of my mouth. This thing is not stopping. And suddenly I dozed off. Well, in the process of dozing off, I was in a bedroom, and it's not my bedroom. I was in a bedroom, and I was laying on a bed, and there were two children that were mine, but they're not my kids. There was a boy, maybe 9 or 10, and a little girl. And the boy looks out the window, and he says, Mom, I see something in the backyard. So I got up off the bed. I was infirmed. But I got up off the bed, looked out the window, and the first thing I saw was a white bird dead on its back. And then something way over in the far corner was white and alive, but I do not know what that was. But the focus of the little boy's attention was there was a lion prowling around in the yard. And I saw a full-grown male lion. And I looked out and I saw the lion, and somehow I got back in bed. And the next thing, in the next scene of the dream, the lion jumps up on the sloping roof like this outside the window. The window is open, and all there is in the window is a screen, because it's so nice weather. The lion jumps up on this roof, comes right up to the screen, growling, screaming, as lions do, like this. Now, a lion that size, obviously, can break through a screen with no effort. He could not come through the screen. I thought to myself, I better go up and close the window. But before that happened, there was a circle of policemen around the house, and one of them, you see them on TV, they have their vest on, and their job is, it's like a sniper, but he has this great big long rifle, and he aims and he kills the lion dead, end of dream. So I called, hey, I'm going to believe this dream, but Your interpretation was that the policemen were authority, and God was expressing that he has total authority and there was no way that lion is going to touch me or my family. So that was a marvelous feeling, you know, he kept doing these things that would give me enough strength to go to the next point. point, and then something else would happen, and then another thing, and get to the next point. So that dream really helped me get over a certain hump. So I give praise and glory and thank you for your obedience. Probably that's enough for the moment. As the Lord pops stuff in my mouth, I'll just
glad to see you. There was one vision I remember giving to her, and I saw the word freedom in bold letters, F-R-R-E-D, bold. And it was right over her head. And I couldn't stop seeing it, so I called her. And she says, oh, thank you so much. I needed that so bad. So, you know, why the gifts? They're for him and for you and me to depend on each other and watch the work of the Holy Spirit come alive. The dead bird I identified as what came in me was witchcraft being done. And it was offered up as a sacrifice in order to get this one destroyed because she's an irritation to that family because of too much light. Lift your hands to him. Say, I'm recognizing the light inside of me. It's not just in my neighbor. It's working its work. In my neighborhood. On the job. In my relationship. It's irritating the darkness. And it's okay. Because God's light is greater. And who is in me is greater and mighty by his power. He's radiating light, life, and an anointing of grace to the broken, to the sick, to the depressed. And I'm looking forward for what he's doing inside of this family. Hallelujah.
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 Celebrate.
Celebrate.
Share some hugs with each other. That's your job.